part of a community of learners. And so it's really important for our students to feel safe and for their parents to feel that their students are safe in the residence halls. So we've been responding very quickly to the security concerns on campus. We have immediately locked all the doors, the exterior doors, the doors up into the floors. So when you get in the building, up you could never get up to the top, the floors, technically. But we have also been locking the exterior doors. If anyone could get up into the upper levels, it was usually through tailgating, what we call tailgating, where students allow someone to walk in behind them. We have also been holding a lot of meetings with our students, floor meetings, to tell them what's going on, to keep them informed, and tell them what they can do. We held a meeting with parents this past weekend during Dad's weekend. We have hired students to patrol the floors, actually go up and down the floors during the daytime. The residence halls are relatively empty during the daytime because most of our students are in class. So to increase security during the day, we've got students patrolling. We're in the process of installing locks on all the bathroom doors and the shower room doors as well. We have been doing this all semester, but we've been doing this all semester. Unfortunately, they've been being dismantled. Many of them, the students take them off or destroy them. But now we are finding that the students are leaving them in place, particularly in the women's areas, in the ladies' rooms, in the women's rooms. So we're really pleased that our message is getting out to students that they need to keep the locks on the doors. We're installing cameras in the common areas and the exteriors, the exterior doors. And this is an ongoing process. It takes some time, but we're hoping that we have a lot of progress made on this by the time that school reopens in January. We hope we have this pretty much completed, if not really close. We are hiring a security firm to staff the main entrances of the residence halls where students come in. This will start November 28th, Sunday, November 28th. We moved as quickly as we could on this. We used a procurement agreement that another university had so we could move quickly. We're doing background checks on the people that will be in our halls, and we'll have it up and running on November 28th. We're scheduling more self-defense classes for students. I've created a task force, a small task force that will begin immediately. It's a collaboration between our public safety people and housing people. And I'm asking for a preliminary report by the end of the semester on what we can do, all the things we can do to make our halls safer. As Barbara said, we're building a community watch approach in the residence halls in particular, talking about tailgating, talking about not letting anybody in the building, talking about using 911, calling the police if they feel that there's something going on that they are not comfortable with. This slide says university housing response, but it's actually a university-wide effort, and it's a collaboration between the administration and a group of student leaders. One of the students in the group is Trustee Soso, and another student is our student body president, David Olson. The students have said to us, empower us. And so we've looked to the students for their help in communicating with them. How can we best communicate with students about keeping watch to one another? We're calling it iWatch, a community that cares. We're creating posters, and you've got examples there. They're just mock-ups at this point. We're going to be putting those all over campus and on the MTD buses. On that poster is also a bracelet. We're going to ask students to wear bracelets to remind them to look out for each other. The academic deans and faculty are being asked to participate. The students had the idea of putting on all the syllabi about safety information and the last slide of every faculty presentation, reminding them to not to walk alone and to use resources available for safety. We are redistributing many of the items that that we were distributed in the fall. You have a whistle that we and safety cards, putting out more posters. We put these things out in the fall during Welcome Week. We're doing it again. At the suggestion of the students, we are working with campus bars to involve them as well. They'll be reminding students to be safe at the end of the evening and to walk with a friend. In the spring, we'll be participating in a program called Enough is Enough, which is a nationwide safety campaign that was created after the Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois shooting. The program involves the community and empowers students. I'm going to turn it back over to Barbara to talk about resources.
Thank you. One of the things we should note is the uniqueness of the Champaign-Urbana campus and trying to describe our jurisdiction. It's very interwoven with the city. And part of that, and I'm just bringing this up because I think it goes back to our increased and our transparency around alerting our students, is that we've taken the public policy approach that we know everything within that campus district is our students. And though even though we may not be required under the absolute understanding of the Cleary Law, we have taken this position that we know it's our students that are in that campus town area. We are going to send the crime alert. So I often hear from parents, I don't hear about this crime at a more urban school where I send my son or daughter to. And I would suspect, and I don't know for certain, but that is because they are more confined and or stricting to the absolute requirements under the law. Resources for our students. We do a lot of safety education. Renee's talked about that. We do safe walks. Most recently, the Moms and Dads Association has donated to us $10,000, which we intend to use for that program. And one of the things I want to do with that program is increase its visibility. Our students walk and they wear a vest that has reflectors on it, but I want folks to see that they're out and about. The car or the van they drive is not marked because we lease it. You know, I want it marked. I want them out, and we're going to buy these alternative fuel vehicles. I guess they're electric, that will be marked up with this donation so that, one, they'll be more visible, and two, they'll be able to get to the walk person quicker. They'll get across campus quicker. And we're constantly doing self-defense classes. Folks ask, you know, are you doing those? And these are kind of revolving, ongoing on a regular basis. We know that our usership is up in safe walks. You can see the data up there. Students continue to use it, so we know our education is having an impact. We tell them to walk in well-lighted areas. Immediately report anything suspicious. If you see something, say something. And I am going to take a moment here to compliment David Olson, our student body president, because he and I had a meeting just this past week, and we're talking about students, and he came up with this concept of doing YouTube sort of vignettes about safety and what students can do. So that's out there on YouTube. It's pretty creative, I think. And we're going to do that constantly. I'm actually going to link it off the police webpage. It's students educating students, and that's one of the vignettes. If you see something, say something. If you feel threatened, blow your whistle. I think with students, the biggest thing is telling them to trust their instincts and to call 911. They're very reluctant to use those police resources, and we often hear from students either hours or days later they're notifying us of an incident, and we need to know it. You know, the sooner we know, the more likely we are going to be able to solve the crime. And of course, you have the whistle. Renee covered that. Again, we encourage students to be aware of their surroundings, avoid levels of intoxication that leave you vulnerable. As in with any city, be cautious around your ATMs and with your money. Take one of the self-defense classes, and certainly lock your door, lock your door, lock your door. Covered that. Don't be afraid to call police. We see that as a reoccurring theme with all students, and I don't think it's unique to Illinois. That's across the country. Don't disable the security alarms or the security systems that are put in place. You know, don't allow folks to tailgate, although it's an issue of politeness where you open the door. Not that I want any child to be unpolite, but I think you can handle that in a polite way. obviously don't walk alone at night. Don't use your MP3 players. I don't even know if that's the correct terminology these days.
Yeah, well, good luck on that
one. Yeah, I know. I'm always worrying about them getting run over by a car because they're not using their senses. And certainly don't display your valuables. Where we are now, we are working very proactively with the Champaign Police, State Police, Urbana Police, County Police, and the FBI as well. We bring them in to consult with us. We're continuing our investigations. The Forbes incident, through the text messaging alert, we developed a number of leads, and we continue to get leads and tips. More recently, we think the suspect may have gotten on a bus, and we're reviewing the camera footage from the bus company. Renee talked about launching the promotional and education campaign with our students. So, questions? Didn't we talk about this out in the hallway?
I want to start off just so that I don't get the wrong idea. I think University Police is doing a fantastic job and doing the best they can. One of the things noted, though, is under common misperceptions, I noticed that you guys wrote that Champaign-Urbana is much less safe than campuses of our peer institutions, and that would be a misperception. And then we're shown a chart where we're number 8 out of 10 in 10 schools listed, and 2 schools listed in the Big Ten aren't even included. And then, and when we compare tuition and faculty dollars, we compare ourselves usually against private one institutions, research one institutions, which we do all the time, as our peers, and we don't have any comparison with that either. I don't want to fault what you're doing here. I just want to try and emphasize that I don't think we should try and diminish the problem to make it go away, but we should be honest with ourselves that if we're 8 out of 10, I wouldn't say that we're not much less safe.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. I think there's things we can do to improve, and I think we're marching down the path to do that. An acknowledgement of the problem is I think, the first step in that.
Can I ask you, mentioned the cooperation between the city of Urbana, the city of Champaign, the county sheriff's office, Champaign County, the state police, and, of course, the U of I force. Have you all met together as a group, and if so, how many times has that occurred?
Well, the chiefs and I have met a couple times after the chancellor brought us together, including the politicians, the chiefs, and the county sheriff. State police were not at that particular meeting, but we strategized over that one particular weekend. We actually then met on Sunday to sort of debrief and figure out our plans for the next weekend. I will tell you that at the lower level, the officers, the detectives, they're meeting on a regular basis, and I would suggest it's probably weekly or every other week. And the chiefs meet monthly. We have a standing monthly meeting, and that meeting also includes the state's attorney. I don't want to leave that out, because prosecution is also key to getting at this problem. And she's been very clear about charging the most serious felony.
I should point out to the group that we did spend quite a bit of time together during the closed session and went through some details that are not present here, and that's probably why there are so few questions from the trustees, because after the grilling in the last hour, so.
Well, thank you. If there's no more, I will go. You're not going to let me out, huh?
Well, no, just to reiterate some of what you've already heard, though, we're very, very concerned about this, and to the extent that you need additional resources, you'll let us know through Chancellor Easter. To the extent that there can be more intergovernmental cooperation among the law enforcement agencies, I think we would strongly support that as well.
Thank you. And, again, it's a complex, as we talked in executive session, it's a complex policing problem, and it's going to take resources and cooperation, across all levels. And I hope we get at it pretty quick, and I'm not here talking with you anytime soon. Not that I don't like you. So, thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you. I just say, on behalf of all the board, we appreciate your efforts, the efforts of the other police departments to provide public safety. We recognize the risks that you all are taking on a personal and group basis to protect the rest of us, and you have our great respect for that. So thank you.
Thank you.